I believe it was I shared a privilege to be able to call him a friend, call him a producer, call him a Rebbe, call him a lot of things that we spent our summers together. We spent many hours together a number of years ago. But I believe it was here in his position, his new position as one of the shapers, really, of Y.U.S.M.I.C.H.A., which is a goal of many of Karen Biavna graduates. I think out of the yeshiva there, by Leibowitz is running around this week. Karen Biavna has a tremendous, highly percentage of going to YU in general, and Y.U.S.M.I.C.H.A. also, obviously, for those who it's appropriate for. But we are, when Rabbi Leibowitz switched from DRS to Landers to YU, every stop of the way, as Rashi quotes at the beginning of Ayetzeh, Tadik Bali here, Tadik Yosem and here, Otsa Roshan. And, you know, we were very excited to be able to, you know, watch the progression of leadership positions that he was in. And we're very excited now that he's here on behalf of YU, giving a share and sharing his wisdom and warmth and expertise in and always exciting and interesting shilas and the topics that he talks about in his new position. So we give you this bracha. They should continue to have great hatzlacha in shaping the YU Smicha program and helping shape the Talmidim over the next hour.
Thank you so
much. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Hello, friends. Wow. Okay. So it's still every time I come back to Karen Biavna, it's like a little surreal that I'm like on this side of the table in Karen Biavna. This is where I learned. It's like a Bachman is supposed to sit here, you know. But okay, I'll get past it in my head. Hope everyone's doing well. I figured Rabbi Razin suggested just go through some interesting shilas. Yeah, is that what we want to do? That sounds good. Okay, so I'll go through some questions that I've gotten over the past, 6 months or so, and you'll tell me which ones you're interested in discussing, yeah? Okay, anyone here doing Daf Yomi, by any chance? Are Daf Yomi people over here? Oh, we have one. Who are you pointing to? Are you doing Daf Yomi?
I may or may not have to get the feedback to get
the time. We start with brachos Daf Beis?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, we'll count it. Okay. So I don't know how many of you heard, but there was like this big siyum like a month ago. And like Klal Yisrael celebrated. Anyway, so in Daf Yomi, Shiurim throughout America, probably Israel too, like there's been a huge increase in attendance for the beginning of Misach. Supposed to be a huge increase in the number of shiurim that are being offered. Rabbi Kamenetsky is giving a Daf Yomi shiur. It's unbelievable. We have tremendous growth in that area. In fact, 2 weeks ago I was in Israel on the plane to Israel. It was like the whole plane, men, women, children, goyim, everyone was learning Daf Yomi. It was unbelievable. Everyone had a brachos on them. There was a guy, and this part is not an exaggeration or a joke, there was a guy sitting in front of me was not wearing a yarmulke and was learning Daf Yomi. It's unbelievable. I don't know like how we like, you know, organized that in his head, but like that was, so anyway, so my Daf Yomi Shir, I've been giving you Daf Yomi Shir in North Woodmere for about 15 years, two cycles. So in my Daf Yomi Shir, in a typical morning, we get 8 to 10 guys, right? That's decent, by Daf Yomi standards, by North Woodmere standards. And then on Brachos Daf Beis, we had like 40 or 50 guys, probably like 50 guys, Brachos Daf Beis. So a guy came over to me after the shiur and he said, I have an idea, great fundraising idea for the shul. Fantastic idea. What was his idea? He said, if we can get all the people who just picked up Daf Yomi, who just started now with the Daf, he said, if we can get all of them to commit, what all these papers are, if we can get all of them to commit to give, to put $2,711 into an account, and then every Daf that they do, they get $2 back. $2 back. The shul will make a ton of money. He's banking on Erevin to knock out. So that was his question was, are we allowed to do that? Right? Can we make such a deal? Is there anything usher about that? Good. You heard the Shaila? What's the Shaila?
Gambling.
Gambling, right? So gambling Shaila. Right, so that's shaila number one. Right, is that a permissible or forbidden way to do gambling? That's shaila number one. Shaila number two. I'll do the one that I just did in Reshit. This one was not asked to me, but I thought it was a fascinating shaila. It was apparently a shaila that came up here in Eretz Yisrael and it went around amongst the Gedolei HaPoskim here, you know, Rav Zilberstein and Rav Shafran from Bnei Brak and a number of other Gedolei HaPoskim here in Eretz Yisrael dealt with this shaila. Apparently, there was a situation that happened where there was a guy visiting his elderly father in the nursing home for a Shabbos. And the guy must be about tshuva. I guess his father was in a non-religious nursing home. And this guy was spending Shabbos with his father. Now, any of you ever been to a nursing home after, let's say, 6 p.m.? What would you find if you went to a nursing home after 6 p.m.? It was, right? Like, dead silence. Hopefully not dead, but silence, right? it's absolutely quiet. There's nothing going on in the nursing home after 6 p.m. So it was, like, really late at night on Friday night, like, really late by nursing home standards, like 8:30. And the guy wanted a cup of tea, so he needed to find hot water. So he walked down the hall, and he saw there was a room with a hot water urn in it. So and the door was open, so he walked right into the room. And then right behind him, the doors closed. I mean, it was one of those electronic doors. How was it open? Because someone walked in right before him, and he didn't realize. And then he looked in the room. Who walked in right before him? The night nurse, who's on call throughout the night. There's only one person there throughout the night, because everyone's sleeping. If, God forbid, an emergency happens, she's on call. So he's in the room with the night nurse. And the only way to get out, Friday night, on Shabbos, is by going through the electronic door. So what's the shaila? So you've got yichud or chil Shabbos. And he's got to make a choice. He's got to make a choice in which aveira he wants to do. Does he go through the door or does he stay the yichud? So I thought that was a fascinating shaila. In general, halachic triage shailas are always fascinating, right? People like, you know triages, right? When like 50 patients come into a hospital but there are only 3 doctors, how do you decide who lives, who dies, who gets treatment, who doesn't? So like, an aveira has to be done. Which aveira am I going to do? Which one am I now going to do? So that's always exciting, you know, when you get to decide which aveira the halacha says I have to do, you know? So that's shaila number two. Shaila number three, let's see, which one should I pick? Let's see. I'm going to make it a good one. Let's see. Okay, this one's an interesting one. Shaila number three. A guy texted me the following. Let me just see if this one's not a better one. All right. A guy texted me the following. He said that his niece has what appears to be a Lyme-like infection. Not like the color Lyme, but, you know, like Lyme disease type of infection. And it has become very serious. And a Rebbetzin recommended that she do the pigeon to belly button treatment that's more commonly done for hepatitis. These are his words, right? Scientifically, this makes no sense to me. However, I'm open to there being things that I do not know. Another factor is the power of placebo effect, even if there's nothing to this procedure. Another factor is this may be tzar balechayim, cruelty to animals. My sister asked that I help with this procedure. I want to be able to be there for my sister. However, I don't know whether this is halakhically the right way to go. Just by a show of hands. How many of you are familiar with the pigeon to belly treatment? Someone's heard of it. There's always someone that's heard of it. Yeah? Someone in your family had it?
I heard it's not.
So where did you hear about it? Yeah, it's a good hack. When I was in yeshiva, I think when I was here, there was a guy that got it done. So for the uninitiated, apparently if you have hepatitis, you can go to the doctor and get it treated, or you can go to a rabbi, usually moels and the like, you know, are experts in this, and they'll pick up your shirt and they'll take a white pigeon and they'll put it on your belly button until the pigeon turns yellow and dies, and then they'll throw it out, and they'll take another pigeon and keep going until the pigeon stops dying, and then the pigeon has sucked all of the disease out of you and you're cured. So he wants to know if he can do that. So that's the third shot. So again, what were the three shots? The first one was betting on finishing shots, right? Betting on not finishing shots, right? So we have that gambling. The second one, we have the guy with yichud and chil Shabbos. And the third one, the pigeon to belly shot. So pick it in your minds which one you want, and then we'll take a vote in a second. Okay, got it in your heads. All those prefer shadow number one? Okay, only a couple. Shadow number two? More, not more. Shadow number three? Shadow number two wins, I guess, right? Seems that way. And I guess if we finish it, then we can, you know, we have time, so maybe we'll get it done. Okay, so what do we, so shadow number two was the Yichud one? Yeah? Okay, so let's talk about this. How do you think about such an issue? How do you go about answering such an issue, such a question? So in general, if you have to make a choice, I never can feel sitting down, I apologize, I just need to stand up. If you have to make such a choice in general, between the Isurim, so you have to figure out which Isur is the Isur Chamor and which one is the Isur Kal, right? So how do you think about that? How do you figure out what's the Isur Chamor? By what criteria is something labeled as an Isur Chamor and Isur Kal? Oh, so first thing is Daraisa and Zerabam, right? Then, if they're both Daraisa, you can start dealing with Onesh, some said Onesh, a couple of you. Okay, so you start with Isur Chamor, Isur Kal, right? That's the first thing, right? So you start with this is Daraisa, this is Zerabam. So new, this is Daraisa, this is Zerabam. Let's take each issue. The Isur of walking past the electronic eye that opens the door. Which, by the way, I never knew how that worked. There's always like a mat in front of it. I always assumed it was your weight on the mat that opened it. And apparently that's not right. There's an electronic, like if you were to like throw something, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, you could say, take off your jacket and throw it in front of it, it would also open up, right? Because there's an electronic guy that waits for motion and then it opens up the door. So is that, this is all right, so this is our button. What are you telling now? What? Oh, grumma, meaning even if, opening it, pushing a button and opening a door is a daraisa, this is a grama. Is that what I'm suggesting? Mm-hmm. What makes it a grama? It's not really doing, is that what grama is? That you're not doing the maisa? You are doing the maisa, you're stepping right in front of it. Why is that a different maisa than stepping on something or pushing a button? It's psikresha, it's more than psikresha, you're actually doing the maisa, right? It's worse than psikresha. You know, there's a discussion in Poskim, I was just talking to Rabbi Sablowski about this, at a, oh, I get to do a YU pitch. There's a great Rav in YU, Rabbi Sablowski. But anyway, so I was at a chasana, and I was talking to him about, they have a major issue with hot water tanks in everywhere, I guess, but all the new hot water tanks are energy efficient. And energy efficiency means halakhically problematic because it used to be that in your hot water tank in your house, everyone used hot water on Yantif, right? Because it's mostly used hot water on Yantif because you're allowed to cook on Yantif, right? So it used to be in your hot water tank in your house, there's a pilot light that's on the whole time. And when you turn on the hot water comes out, cold water is going to go into the tank, and then more fuel is added to that light and the fire goes up, which is all fine on Yantif. What are you not allowed to do on Yantif? Not allowed to be molded ish, right? Not allowed to create a fire. The new hot water tanks are more green, they're more energy efficient, they're more environmental friendly, and there is no pilot light. And when you turn on the hot water, it ignites a pilot light. It ignites a fire, which means that if you have a hot water tank that was made in the last 10 years, then you probably are not allowed to turn on hot water on Yantif, right? So it's a problem. So it's a real issue. So I was talking to Shechter about this, and I mentioned to Rabbi Sablowski that Shechter said that it's not even a psikreshe. Meaning I thought that maybe, you know, a psikreshe on it, the Rabbanan, you know, there's a... So Shechter said it's not even a psikreshe. It's the Maisa Mamish. Because that's the system. Meaning the way the system is set up to work is that when you turn on the water, it heats up new water so that you'll have new water for next time. So that's not called psikreshe, is like this unintended consequence, even if it's definite. But it's an unintended consequence. But this is the Maisa Mamish. So when you walk in front of the electric eye, that's the Maisa, that's the Yisr. So I don't know. I don't know if it's if it's psikreshe. So what would make it grama? What makes something? How do you define grama? It's a very challenging question. It's not pashut at all. Many poskim define grama as a time delay. Talmidei Rav Soloveitchik absolutely reject that definition of grama. Rav Soloveitchik was not, you know, there are a lot of modern pieces of technology that we use with that different organizations have been involved in installing a grama type of switch to it, like ovens with the star K, and over here Machon Somet has a number of things that they put out with the Grumma switch. But whether they actually are Grumma is not pashut at all. Grumma might mean that I'm doing one action which triggers another action which then triggers the malacha, meaning as opposed to just I'm doing the malacha. So it could be that this is Grumma. If you hold time delay, it's not Grumma. Second, I walk in front of it, door opens up, you can't even tell that there's a time delay. If you hold that it's, I'm doing something that over there that then triggers that, so then maybe you could argue that it's Grumma. Okay, maybe. What about just let's say when I was trying to draw, I push a button and it opens up. Is that the Araisa or the Rabbanan? Use of electricity and Shabbos.
Is there a thing with Machabit Batis and finishing the circuit?
Who says that? Finishing a circuit, Bona, Machabit Batis, Chazanish. Good, that's Sheet of Chazanish. Is that generally accepted by Poskim? So there was one very, very great Poskim who lived who was a very young man at the time that Chazanish came out with that stock of Bona and Machabit Batis. And this 19-year-old, very young, budding Poseik wrote a whole sefer, his first sefer, about electricity on Shabbos and why he held that Chazanish was incorrect, which is, a lot to take on for a 19-year-old guy or 20-year-old guy, I don't know how old he was, essentially your age, right? And he wrote this sefer explaining with a deep understanding of both electricity and the halacha that Chazanish is incorrect, that it's at worst in a drabanan, perhaps only a minug, to use electricity. And when he put out this sefer, everyone thought it was written by a Zaken Varagil. They assumed that it was written by one of the Gedolei Poskim. And it was this young guy, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that no one ever heard of. And that's what put him on the map. That was his first book. So Shlomo Zalman's Shita has widely been accepted that Stam using electricity is not an issur d'oraisa. Heat emitting electricity is a different malacha. That's mavir, because if you create esh, then that's mavir. So it used to be that light bulbs were not like this. It used to be that the classic light bulb was what's called an incandescent bulb. You can't even find these anymore. Like maybe you go on Amazon, you find some guy who's selling it out of his basement in whatever. But like you get in stores, like why would they sell it? Because they're energy inefficient. They create heat. They're nothing that you want out of it. And the light's not so great. Right, so why wouldn't you buy an LED light? Right, you'd buy a better light. So you don't even sell these anymore, pretty much. But heat-emitting bulbs that's definitely d'oraisa. That's definitely d'oraisa. In fact, there's a wonderful organization I just mentioned a moment ago called Machon Somet. Anyone ever hear of Machon Somet? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do they do? Exactly. They deal with all these technological advances and make it that there's the Tzomet telephone, the Tzomet microphone, the Tzomet scooter, so that people who are in dire circumstances are able to, like, someone told me they were at Machon Tzomet, they were doing some sort of study there, and they were taking some sort of class there, and they got a phone call, Medaber Shlomo Zalman. That was Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He said, Shlomo Zalman said, there's a guy in Shari Chesed who always comes to shul, and I noticed he stopped coming to shul on Shabbos. And I asked him why, and he said, because he can't walk anymore, and he needs a scooter. So Shlomo Zalman said, I want you guys to develop a scooter that this guy should be able to come to shul on Shabbos. It's a Kavod HaBrios issue. The guy can't function normally, so it's not right, so you have to develop something. So they did. There's a Machon Somet scooter. So most of what they do is that they like plan for the future. They're like two steps ahead of the technology. But they had a problem that they were trying to deal with is that when you go to a hotel for Shabbos, so let's say you're eating in the room. If you're eating in the dining room, you have the same problem, but we're not going to say that. Let's say you're eating in the room and you have to light Shabbos candles. So where do you light Shabbos candles? So the only place you really can light is in your room. What's the problem? Most hotels do not allow you to light candles in the room. It's a fire hazard. So what do? So Machon Somet developed this little thing. It's like the size of a phone, right? And it has two places where you can screw in incandescent bulbs that it comes with the unit. And it's a battery on the bottom. And that way you can make a bracha on that because it's eish, teish mamish. So you can make a bracha on the nerf shabbos. Right, on that thing. And they wired it in such a way where it drains the battery quickly. So the battery dies after 3 or 4 hours, and they did that dafka on purpose, so so that if you're in a hotel room and you have these lights that you lit Shabbos candles, you want them on when you're eating your seudah, but then you want to be able to go to sleep. You don't want it lighting up the room. So it drains the battery. After 4 hours, the battery will go out. The whole thing will shut itself off. So that's what Machon. So essentially what they did was, usually what they do is try to get 2 steps ahead of the technology. Essentially what they did over here is they moved 50 years back, and they said, okay, this is what a light bulb used to be, and they gave us access to it. I'm a Talmud, actually, Karmi Avner alumnus, who just got married recently, and he got married on Hanukkah. So what's the problem with getting married on Hanukkah? You have a mitzvah on Hanukkah of Ner Hanukkah. So where are you supposed to light Ner Hanukkah? Where? In your house, right? So what do you do if you're getting married? Guess what? If you're getting married, you are homeless, right? Because you no longer live in your parents' house. You just moved out that day. You don't yet live in your new house. And that night, they're staying at a hotel. Chassan Kalas, for some reason, always stay at a hotel. I asked Rav Shachter what they should do. And Rav Shachter said, they should get married before Hanukkah. Good idea. I asked Rav Willick what they should do. Rav Willick said, why do they have to waste money on a hotel? Let them just go to their apartment. Oh, it's such a waste of money. I said, Rebbe, how many of your children went to their apartment the night that they got married? He said, zero. I failed with all of them. Zero. So they're going to a hotel that night, right? So they don't have a home. The hotels don't let you light their Hanukkah. What do you do? So this guy, Kermi Avner Lamas, he called up 5 hotels and asked in advance, am I allowed to light a candle in the hotel room? And the first one said yes, that's the one that he booked, and that's where they stayed. Meaning, there are a lot of people that will say, look, this is what I'm doing. Halacha's got to figure out how it's going to be okay, but this is what I'm doing. No, but that's not what Ben Torah does. Ben Torah says, I'm lighting Neros Chanukah. My life is going to fit into the halacha. The halacha doesn't have to fit into my life. Right, understand. It's just an attitude issue, perspective. So anyway, so where were we? Oh, so if you have Eish Mamish, that's a different story. They said the Chaim Eizer used to say a Bari Maria Eish on an electric bulb to Dafka be Machiach. Then it's Eish Mamish. So that's an Eish Mamish. But it's not use of electricity as Nisus Rabbanan. We assume unless you're Bnei Brak, you has an issue. So then it's Nisus Daraisa. But generally, we assume Nisus Rabbanan. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in our soul, we met with Rav Rubin from Harnof. Anyone know who Rav Rubin is? It's not Reuben Kasher, I think he's from Rehovot, no? So, Orchel Shabbos. There's a wonderful sefer in Orchel Shabbos called Orchel Shabbos. How many of you have used it? Not so many? Okay, if you ever learn Hilchot Shabbos, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa is like, you know, the classic. It's not a limud. You know, if you need to look something up, but it's not really a limud, because it doesn't really go through the sugya with you. We actually asked Rav Reuben as a Talmud of Hashem Zalman. So he said, Shmir Shabbos is great, he said, but it's like learning the phone book. You know what I'm saying? Like when you learn halacha and you just, this is halacha, that's halacha, that's halacha. It's a little bit, you could say a little bit dry, right? But you want to go through, what does the Gemara say? What does the Rishonim say? How does this play out in the halacha? So the Orchel Shabbos does like that. So he actually told us that Shlomo Zalman was makbid for the sheet of Chazon Ish personally. That he, when a situation would come up, he would be machmir for the Chazon Ish, even though he wrote a whole book explaining why he thought the Chazon Ish was incorrect. He said that the mikveh, the light, a fluorescent light, went out in the mikveh one Friday night, and normally, pashut, what do you do if a fluorescent light went out in the mikveh? So get a kai, have him turn on the light, amir la'akum an adrabanam, shvus to shvus, b'makom mitzvah, can't have bigger mitzvah, a woman going to the mikveh, right? So it's Tzorch Gadol, Shalom Bayis, and the mitzvah, everything. Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, only if you get the guy to do it with a shimon. You need another shvus. Because he was choshesh, so turning on the light might be daraisa. Choshesh for the sheet of the chaznish. Wow, I never heard that before. That's what Reuben told us. So, bringing it back to our story here. Right, the guy wants to go outside the room. He leaves the room, he's in violation of an iser. Rabbanan, probably, right? What about Yichud? Why is this Rabban here? Oh, okay. We don't know enough about this nurse, right? We need more information about this nurse, no? Meaning, if she has a husband and it's by Lebi'ir, so then it's not Rabban, it's Mutter. Right? It's not Yichud at all. Right? What? Oh, she may get a call any second, so maybe for that reason it's not Yichud. It didn't seem likely that she was going to get a call any second. I mean, she's there just in case, but, you know, it's not every night that something happens. They just need someone on staff to be around. So what's the use of Yichud? Is Yichud in general? Daraisa or Rabbanan? What? No, it's a Ferish Gemara, really. There's not much room for Machlokas, because the Gemara in a couple of places, but at the major Sugi of Yichud, I don't know where the major Sugi is. The very end of Kiddushin is the major Sugi. In Kiddushin, it's not abundantly clear that it's Daraisa. You have to learn Sanhedrin and Avodah Zarah, then it becomes much clearer. In Kiddushin, it's not abundantly clear. Because in Kiddushin, what the Gemara says is, Remez liyichud min haTorah minayin, which is already such a strange lashon. Remez liyichud min haTorah minayin. Yichud min haTorah minayin. Remez, that sounds like, you know, Moshe Weinberg is doing this thing tonight. He's going to say Ramazim, right? That's a Remez. So the you guys going? Another why you pitch? So I'll do that. Remez yichud min haTorah minayin. So what do you mean Remez? Remez doesn't sound like a din. So the Gemara says, oh, because the pasuk says, ki yisischa chicha ben imecha, that if your brother from your mother's side, meaning your maternal brother, tries to convince you to do Avodah Zarah, so we look at the pasuk. Ben imecha, what? V'chi ben e mesis ben av eino mesis. Only your maternal brother will convince you to do Avodah Zarah, not your paternal brother. Ela ben misyachin imimo, ben misyachin kol arayos shebetorah. So it tells us that of the arayos, you're allowed to have yichud with your mother, you're not allowed to have yichud with other arayos. That's it. That's what we learned from that pasuk. What kind of drasha is that? It's not the pshuta shel mikra. It's not a kavul chomer. It's not a gzeirah shavah. It's not a binyan. It's none of the yichud min haTorah addresses that. It sounds like a remez. It sounds like it's not a real din. So when you walk away from the Gemara in Kiddushin, you walk away with the impression, probably not a daraisa, but it's befevish. The Gemara says befevish. The yichud arayos is daraisa. Yichud with a single girl is only drabanan. When did that didn't come into play? So that was Beidino Shel David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech had some trouble with his children. A lot of trouble with a lot of his children. A little bit of very little bit of Tanakh, and you see that. And he had this issue with Amnon and Tamar. Right? His son and his daughter. Right? So what happened? What was the issue with Amnon and Tamar? What? He raped her. Right? Amnon attacked Tamar. And Tamar was a tsenua and a tzedekes and right everything. She was wonderful. We have two Tamars in Tanakh. They both were tzidkanios and wonderful, and they both had these horrific experiences, like these horrible things happened to them. So a lot of people name their daughter Tamar because they're both nashim tzidkanios. Shech once told me, I wouldn't name my daughter Tamar. Such bad experiences. Well, there are a lot of girls in the Rebbe's in Razi, right? So there are a lot of very, very wonderful. So anyway, so I remember when I was here in Yeshiva, let's change that story. When I was like, 9 years old, and I was doing Shnai Mikra for the first time. So I remember coming across the story of Yehuda and Tamar. I'm like, they never told me that in elementary school. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it was the first time I discovered it. Do people know about this? This is scandalous. So David HaMelech had this problem with Amnon and Tamar. So Beidino Shel David made a gezeira that yichud with the penuyos asur. Because if it can happen to Tamar, it can happen to anyone. And therefore he made such a gezeira. Yichud with a goy, Beidino Shel Shammai the Hillel, where goes our yichud with a goy. But yichud with a rayos is daraisa. Other than your mother, there's no issue yichud with your mother. So who are arayos that there's an issue yichud with? What's the classic arayos? Eshes ish is daraisa. So let's say you have a young man. Let's say I taught in DRS for 18 years. So let's say you have a junior in DRS, right? An 11th grader in DRS. And he heard that there's a girl that lives down the block, an attractive young lady who's his age, who's very lonely. And she would like some company. So he's a DRS boy, he's Belcha, right? So he's going to go spend some time with him. So he of course, he marks it off as chesed hour and he goes to Brazil to make it double hour somehow. So he goes down the block and he's doing his chesed. He's spending time with this never lonely young lady. And her the only one in her house at the time is her and her mother. Right? The 17-year-old girl and her mother. The father's out of town on a business trip. The siblings are all married out of the house. So it's this girl and her mother. So he's in violation of two Yisurim of Yichud, right? Is there Yichud with her? Is there Yichud with the mother? Which one is worse? The mother, right? Because the mother is the Eshes Ish. That's Yichud Arayos. Yichud Penuya, it's counterintuitive, right? You would think he has a much bigger Yichud for the girl that he's doing Chesed with than with the mother, but nevertheless, right? So Yichud Mina Torah. Okay, so now this nurse, the guy walks into the room, the nurse, is he Yichud or no? Is he Yichud or Yitayna? Is he Yichud Mina Torah or Midrabanan? Right?
No.
Oh, so is she married or not? Right? Let's say she's not. She is Jewish, it's in Israel, right? That's why I prophesied it's in Israel. If she's not Jewish, then there might be another Eitzah to this whole issue. Ask her to open the door, right? Or, meaning, Amir Lakum, yeah, but Amir Lakum, Anad Rabbanan, B'Makom Mitzvah, right? You could definitely be makel on that. Someone said to me, I could probably think of ways to make it uncomfortable enough for her that she would want to open the door. So that's a mahalik, right? You know, you could creep her out to the point where she, you know, bring up interesting conversations or whatever, or bodily functions or whatever. You know, you could probably, so to the point where she's going to want to escape. But if she's a Jew, you can't do that either, because why can't you do that if she's a Jew? That's with me either. So if she's non-religious Jew, right? Is it l'feiver to get her to want to leave? Maybe not. Why not? There's a famous passage in the Shach. I once asked Rabbi Saul Reisman, a shayla relating to this. Rabbi Saul Reisman's Rishiva Torah V'das. I'm not here recruiting for Torah V'das. He's an outstanding Talmud Chacham. So he told me with the psak included this Shach, and he said there are two marmakomas every rabbi must know. One of them is this shach. Like, it comes in handy so many times when you get shaylas on the sleeve. And the other one, I forgot what it was. So I don't know. But the shach says that there's no lifnei iver d'oraisa for a mumer, for someone who's not shomer Torah mitzvah, doesn't care about the whole system of Torah mitzvahs. I'm sorry. Back up a second. Lifnei iver is d'oraisa when the other person could not do the melacha without you. Right, they need you to enable them to do the malacha, or to do the issa. That's what's neivir d'oraisa. What's neivir d'rabbanan, what we call misayeya, is when they could have done the aveira without you, but you just, you know, helped encourage it. But they could have done it without you. It's what the Gemara refers to as treyavi d'nara, chalavi d'nara. If you have a nazir on one side of the river, and you're on the other side of the river, and the nazir is like, oh, I'm so thirsty, can you throw me that bottle of wine? The nazir can't reach the bottle of wine. You throw it to them, that's lifnei iver d'oraisa. But if you're standing right next to the nazir says, can you pass the wine? And then you pass it to them, that's lifnei iver midrabanan. Why? Because he can get up himself and get the wine. It's just easier if you pass it to him. So you're only violating lifnei iver d'rabanan. So says the Shach, when it's a lifnei iver midrabanan situation, if the person that's violating the Yisr is not religious, there's no lifnei iver midrabanan. There never goes a misayeya, which is a huge kula. It comes up all the time in business settings. God willing, some of you, I'm sure many of you will be rabbanim l'chanchem, and some of you may work in an office where there are non-Jews around. And one day the boss is going to say, I just got the shayla 2 days ago. One day the boss is going to say, do me a favor, you're going out for lunch, pick me up some sushi from the place downstairs. The place downstairs is not kosher. The boss is Jewish. So what do you do? Right? So these are the kinds of shaylas that come up. So let's say either he could get it himself. He's asking you to get it for him. But he can get it himself, so it's a misayeya. If he's not religious, you could maybe have makom to rely on that shach. It happened to be in that case, it was sushi that the boss asked for. The second time I was asked about sushi dafka that the boss asked for, you're in a much better position. Because if he asks for sushi, what can you do? You can get him kosher sushi. Meaning, at that store, it doesn't have ashkacha or whatever, but you can just get salmon. Get a salmon roll. Salmon is kosher. And it may be a maitza hatsala, not a maitza hachshala. You're not being machshil him, you're saving him from getting the crab roll. Not like we have the fake crab, I don't know what that is, but the you know, an actual crab roll. You're saving him from a real issue, right? So maybe, if the woman's not religious and you somehow cause her to do the issue without asking her to, maybe there's makom lahakel. But let's leave that possibility aside for now. Yichud with this woman, the Araisa Rabbanan. So we said, if she's Nashish Ish, and it's Baila Be'ir, it's no Isra at all. If she's Nashish Ish, and there's no Baila Be'ir, it's Nisra Daraisa. What if she's not a Nashish Ish, and she's a Jew? If she's a guy, it's Rabbanan for sure. What if she's a Jew, and she's not a Nashish Ish? Daraisa Rabbanan. You're all right. It's machlokas, right? Because what is she if she's not an Eishes Ish? She's a Nida. So Nida might be Arayos. If Yosef Engel has a long piece, and I think Asvan D'Araisa, maybe to like Achlovri, I think it's in Asvan D'Araisa, about whether Nida is, first of all, whether it's Isra or Tuma. I'm going to talk to you guys now. But where the Nida is, this is a Tyson of the Kama, I think Tyson of the Kama. Where the Nida is Isra Tuma, and then secondly, if it's Isra, whether it's Arayos or not. Right? How you magdir the Isra Nida. So if Nida is Arayos, so then it's going to be in a Semina Torah to have Yichud. If Nida is just considered Isra, but it's not Arayos, there's no Semina Torah to have Yichud. Negiya b'Nida, to touch a Nida, b'derechiva, b'derech taiva. So Machlokes Ram says, Darais Ramban says, the Ramban calls it like a Chatzi Shir, which is interesting, because normally Chatzi Shir is also in the Torah, but the Ramban makes his presentation as really only Asmi Drabanan, and it's also interesting that he calls something like that a Chatzi Shir, it's not really a Chatzi Shir, but the Ramban says Drabanan, and that is like, you know, whenever, if any of you have ever been to high school, and there's a day where the Rebbe is just too tired to teach, or something, he's like, okay, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Megiya, okay, Ramban, right, everyone knows Machlokes, Ramban, what are we paskin, Shulchan Aruch, black on white, Doraisa, we paskin like the Rambam, so Megiya b'derech taiva is Doraisa, Megiya b'nida shalom b'derech taiva, what if you touch Nida not b'derech taiva? I was on the Maisa Shaya Kachaya yesterday. I was on an airplane. And the window of time within which you can daven is very, very narrow. Right? So because we're like in this direction, when we're coming from America to Israel, time is moving faster. I can't explain it. Right? It's just, so time is moving fast. We have very narrow, so I went on my Zmanim and I put in my flight information and it told me between this time and that time you can daven. So problem was, there was a woman sitting next to me, out cold. I don't know, she must have taken some heavy drug. She was out cold the entire flight. Didn't budge. So, I was in the window seat. There was another woman sitting next to her, also out cold. So do I climb over? My tefillin were up in the overhead thing. Right? So what do I do? The whole plane's getting up, putting on tefillin and everything. This woman, before we took off, she was, I don't know, maybe a college-age person, maybe high school, I don't know. So she said, she's clearly, it does not come from a religious background. She said, this is my first time in Israel. I heard that in the middle of a fight, everyone gets up and prays in the aisles. Is that true? Like, kind of. She's like, that's so cool. I should have woken up and said, look, they're praying in the aisles. But what am I supposed to do? Right, so I tried like, excuse me. She wasn't hearing anything. She was like dead to the world. So the only way to wake her up, I could smother her face with a pillow, but start whacking her. But the only way to wake her up would be to push her a little, shake her. Excuse me. Is that Derech Taiva? Not Derech Taiva. Would you do it? Right? Doesn't seem not the yeshivish thing to do. So whatever Rav Silver would always talk about, like Yisurim D'Oraisa, you know, it's like, yeah, not the yeshivish thing to do. So is it Derech Taiva? It's not Derech Taiva. Is Negiah Shalom B'Derech Taiva considered Nisra D'Rabbanan or no Isra at all? So it happens in Machlokes and Nosekel and Shulchan Aruch Tashach and Hilchos Nidim in Yerdein, Kuftadiyei holds Heter Gama. It's totally Motor of Shechter thinks that's how we pass it. There are poskim that hold differently than Rav Shechter, and that Rav Shechter assumes that's how we pass it. So Rav Shechter said he was at the bank once, and there was this, he described it in a very colorful way, how unattractive the bank teller was, and he said that she stuck out her hand, and he shook her hand. And then she said, oh my God, I forgot you're a rabbi, I shouldn't be doing that. So Rav Shechter said, it's okay, I'm not attracted to you, you look like a horse. I assume most of that conversation happened in his head. But what he's trying to say is that if you don't have any typhus, if there's no Derech Taiva, then there's nothing to worry about. Not all Poskim agree to that. Rav Shechter always tells the Maisa with Rav Zelig Epstein, not with Rosetta, with Rosh Mishkat, with that, yeah, remember we did this mice? Yeah. So Rosh Mishkat, apparently when he was teaching YU, another YU plug, Rosh Mishkat taught in YU before he came to America to raise money for the yeshiva, for, what's the yeshiva? Was Rosh Shimon? Grudna, right? For a couple of years, came to America, and Dr. Revels, the Chronos Racha, said to him, look, I don't want you running around the country. How much are you planning on raising? And he gave a number. He said, okay, you teach in our yeshiva for 2 years. We'll pay you. We'll get you that amount of money. And that's what he did. So he taught in Yeshiva Shabbani Yitzchak for 2 years. So when Rosh Shimon had a granddaughter who apparently was not religious, and the granddaughter came with a friend to Rosh Shimon's house, and she said, oh, baby, this is my friend, and the friend sticks out her hand. So he told the story, Rosh Shimon shook her hand. And then after the girl left, he said to his granddaughter that your friend doesn't even know enough that you're not supposed to shake a rabbi's hand, but at least I know not to embarrass somebody that sticks out their hand. At least I know enough not to embarrass somebody. So that's the Maaser Rosh Hashanah. So I told that Maaser in a different context, in the shiur I was giving, and I got a phone call a couple of nights later, Rabbi Leibowitz, yes, this is Kalman Epstein. So who's Rav Kalman Epstein? He's a Rosh Shiva of Shaarei Torah in Queens. He's an amical of Rav Shimon, right? Because he's Rav Zelig's son, and Rav Zelig is a grandson, I guess. So Rav Zelig's wife, I don't know, somehow there is a Rav Shimon connection. So that's Grudna, is their yeshiva, right? They view themselves as the extension of, he said, I heard you told the Maisa, Rav Shimon shaking a woman's hand, how could you say such a Maisa? How could you... You know who told you, said, I've heard this Maisa before. It was from the nun from granddaughter who had an agenda to say, look, the rabbis today are crazy. How could you say such a Maisa? So, you know, called out on the carpet like that. So I was like, it wasn't me, it was Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah told the Maisa. I just told him the Maisa, Rosh Hashanah told him. I said, you can take it up with him. He's like, I will take it up with him. I said, okay, good, I don't care. So the next Shabbos, someone was at my house, and the guy told me he learned from Shaarei Torah. I said, oh, you learned from Rav Kalman? I got a Maisa to tell you about Rav Kalman. I told him his whole story. And the guy's like, I know that Maisa with Rav Shimon. Rav Zelig told me the Maisa. I was like, really? Rav Zelig told you that Maisa with the handshake? He's like, yeah. Rav Zelig used to always say that Maisa. He said, I used to drive Rav Zelig to yeshiva. He used to tell me that Maisa. He said, do me a favor. Can you tell Rav Kalman that Rav Zelig told you that Maisa? So he called me back 2 days later, and he said, I called Rav Kalman. I told him that Rav Zelig said the Maisa, and Rav Kalman said, I know my father used to tell that Maisa. He shouldn't have told it. I used to tell him also not to tell that Maisa. Okay, fine. If that's the standard, then I'm okay. So anyway, so all of that is to tell you that Negiya Shalom B'Derechiva would be Drabban, but we're not even talking about Negiya, we're talking about Yichud. Okay, so Yichud with a Nida is Daraisa Drabban, and what's the debate, whether the Nida is considered a Raya or not? So good. So now we have walking in front of the electronic eye is a drabanan. Yichud with the nida may be drabanan, may be daraisa. Is there any other criteria that we have to measure the severity of an issur when you have to choose an avera? Shevi al tase, right? Meaning normally, if you're not sure, you're going to have to do an avera. Shevi al tase adis. Just be passive. So how would you be passive over here? Which one would you violate? Stay in the room, right? Then you'd be in violation of Yichud, not in violation of Shabbos, but at least whatever you're doing is Shevi Al Tasa. But not so Pashut. Taf Yomi, Taf Yutas? You did Taf Yutas?
Possibly.
So it comes up in Taf Yutas in Mesechus Brachos. The Gemara talks about if a person is wearing is Matzah Shatnes Bebigda. So Machlokas Rosh and Rambam, with the Girsa should be Bebigda or just Matzah Shatnes. You're walking in the Shuk, and Pashut says you find Shatnes on your own garment. There's a question whether you would have to do the same for someone else, right? You find shatnas in your own clothing. So you're walking the Shuk, Central Avenue for those from the Five Towns, Main Street if you're from Queens, Cedar Lane if you're from Teaneck, I don't know, whatever. You're walking down the street, very public area, and you're like, oh, this suit is like a nice suit. And then you look in the labels, of course it's nice, because it says 100% shatnas. So what do you do now? You're wearing 100% shatnas. So what do you do? So the Gemara says? Poshto, afilu b'shuk, right? Poshto, afilu b'shuk. Take off the garment. A jacket, no big deal, right? I'm not such a chashev, you know, like you can take off a jacket. Yeah, but it's a suit, right? Big deal. So, a covet of brios, yeah, sorry. in Chachamim Neitzayin Tvuna Neged Hashem. There's no covenant of brios when you're dealing with the Nisid Doraisa. In Nisid Rabbanan, yes, but in Nisid Doraisa, no. Covenant of brios Docha Lo Seisha B'Torah. The Gemara says, really? The Gemara says, no, not really. It's really only Lo Sasser Mid Rabbanan. Right? They were just kidding when they said Lo Sasser Mid Rabbanan. It's not really Docha Lo Sasser Mid Rabbanan. Only Yisru Mid Rabbanan. Essentially. With one exception. Two exceptions. One of the exceptions is that if it's Shevi Al Tasa, if the Isser, that Doraisa that you're violating, you're only doing Shevi Al Tasa, you're allowed to violate for the sake of Kavod Abrius, to maintain your dignity. Okay, good. But the Gemara says, Post-Rathi U'Bashuk, that the Shatnes, that's Kumvase. When you're wearing Shatnes Bashuk, that's Kumvase. And therefore you have to take off the Shatnes. That's the assumption the Gemara is making. Right, that's right. Unless you think that this never comes up, there's a Rebbe in DRS who told me that Maisa Shaya Kachai, I'm not going to say which Rebbe because I don't think it's nice, but Maisa Shaya Kachai, he told me his wife, not that he did anything wrong, it's just, you'll see why, his wife was in a shul on Simchas Torah. And the Rebbetzin of the shul came over to her and said to her, I love that skirt that you're wearing. Did you buy it at, I don't know, name a story, by Ladies Clothing? This is a test. I just want to make sure none of you know where that is. Okay, did you buy it at whatever? Annie Says something? I don't know. I don't even know if it exists anymore. So she said, yeah, how did you know? So the Rebbe said, because I bought that same skirt at Annie Says, and I got it checked for shotness, and it had shotness. So now here's this DRS Rebbetzin wearing a skirt, Bashuk, Bashul, right? She's in Shul in someone's Torah, and someone just told her, shotness! So it's a halacha. Okay, so it's a little more complicated than it's a woman. We may assume that most shatnas that we have is only shatnas mid rabbanan, not shatnas mid daraisa. We're going to have to work with that because she's obviously not going to take it off there, right? So, but these, look, it's mamish the case of the Gemara, right? It can actually happen. Yeah.
It's one thing if it's too jacket, but if it's like a low garment, there's going to be an erva issue.
Right, so that's part of the chesed when it comes to a woman. Right, when it comes to a man, he's still wearing underwear, so it's only one part of a man's body that's erva. It's not like a woman where you have tefach b'ish erva. There's nothing of tefach b'ish erva. A lot of say kriya shema keneged, right? You know, the Gemara talks about wrapping, if you're wearing a towel around your waist, you're allowed to say kriya shema. You're not allowed to daven like that, because davening has to be common with bnei makom, so you should, you know, tie, jacket, whatever, you should look nice for davening, but for Kriya Shema, you're not talking to Hashem, you're just talking about Him, so you just can't say Dvarim Shel Kedusha in front of Erva. But that's the difference. There's a difference between Tefillah and Shema. But so B'Shevi Al Taseh, you're allowed to violate an Issur D'Oraisa if it's the same for Kavanah B'Yos. And where it says wearing Shat, it's B'Shevi Al Taseh. Wearing a beggar of dal kantos without tzitzis is kumvase. The Gemara Nivama says. So what's the difference? Why is wearing shatnas shevi al tasa? Why is it that wearing the shatnas is considered a violation of kumvase? Wearing the tzitzis, wearing a beggar of dal kantos without tzitzis is shevi al tasa. The Gemara assumes wearing a beggar, you have to post so because it's kumvase. You're violating. What do you mean violating kumvase? I'm already wearing it. Isn't that Shevi Al Tasa? What's the svara? So Tosfos points out, not in the Seches Brachos, but Tosfos points out in the Seches Yevamos that since the Isser is violated when you put on the Beged, and putting on the Beged is become Vase, every subsequent moment of wearing the Beged is considered a violation of become Vase. Tzitzis, Tosfos says, there's no Isser in putting on a Beged of Dal Tasa. Once you're already wearing a beggar of dal kanfos, then you have a mitzvah to put on tzitzis. So failing to put on tzitzis is shevi al tasa, because putting on the beggar is not the issur. It's only once the beggar is already on that the mitzvah kicks in. Kli kufsa are not chayav b'tzitzis. A beggar of dal kanfos in your closet doesn't need tzitzis. Only once you're already wearing it. So here's the klal. If I did the Maisa initially, and it started with the Maisa, even though now I'm being passive, but it started with the Maisa, that's called Kumvase. So new, bring it back to our Yichud question. So we wanted to say Shevi Al Tasa. Let the guy just sit there in the room. It's Yichud B'Shevi Al Tasa. Is it?
The door is open when he walks in.
Oh. So one second. So you're a step ahead, right? How was this yichud situation created? He walked into the room. She was already there. That's kumvaseh. So if that's kumvaseh, then every subsequent moment of yichud is kumvaseh. But you could argue now that when he walked into the room, the door was open. The door was open, there's no yichud yet. The yichud happened by itself when the door closed. You could even argue, potentially, how long does it take to have a nisui yichud? Let's say you're alone, you walk into your house, right, in the middle of the day, and you're there for 3 seconds, you see your housekeeper there, and you say, Mom, sis, brother, father, anybody, no one's home, you walk right out. You're inside for 10 seconds. Did you violate yichud for those 10 seconds? No. Yichud is only shir kedebiya. So maybe the yichud was only violated when you hit that, whatever that number is. We're very machmir when it comes to the chasen and kala to have yichud after the chuppah, right? We dance them to the yichud room. Yichud may be nisuin. It's one of the shitos, one of the many shitos Rama quotes of what the definition of nisuin is. So you need a yichud aroy labia. So we're machmir, we tell the chasen and kala stay in there for 9 or 10 minutes. And then we tell the Eidah Yichud just bang on the door and walk away, and then the Chazan and Kala will come out shortly thereafter. That's a big chumrah. You know, it's probably a lesser amount of time that's already qualifies as Yichud. Sfardim don't do it. Ain't Sfardim here? Sorry. Yeah, so Sfardim don't do, typically do not do Yichud right after the chuppah. They just go home that night, that's a Yichud. I remember at one of my Talmudim's weddings, we danced the Chasen and Kala in Marina Del Rey. We danced them back to the Yichud room. I got to the Yichud room, and the guy's like, I'm a Sparty! Everyone's invited! So there was no Yichud. They weren't supposed to be Yichud. No one told the Chasen in advance. So it was many years ago. Tani Jacob. Personality. Also in Kemiyam. So it could be that it's yichud the kumaseh, or it could be it's yichud the shevial taseh. Walking past the door is definitely, right, if you open the door, that's definitely a chul shabbos the kumaseh. So any other criteria over here? So there's one more criteria that we haven't discussed yet, and we'll wrap it up. And that is, walking past the door is one moment in time. It's one aveira. Yichud, every single second that he's in that room, it's a constant, continuous Isra Yichud. So it could be that the Isra compounds itself. Rav Yosef Engel has a piece on Kamos Ve'Echus, the mitzvahs of Yisur, quantity and quality. That sometimes, if you have a lower level Isra, but it's done over and over and over again, it becomes worse than one time bigger Isra. It's based on a Ran in the Sechaz Yuma. The Ran quotes from the writers that if a person has to eat a kezias of meat, let's say, right? But it's Shabbos. And it's because Shabbos, you have to eat a kezias of meat. You have to do a kalakal tchila, it's Shabbos. The only meat that he has in the fridge is nevela, right? But on the other hand, he's got a cow in his backyard. A live, mooing cow. So he could shech that cow, and then eat the meat, or you could eat the nevela. So what's worse? Certainly Chil Shabbos is worse, right? What if the doctor says you need to eat 10 kezesim? So says the Ran, then probably the nevela is worse, because each kezias of nevela is another issa. Shechting the cow is one of them, Chil Shabbos. Sometimes things compound themselves when you're doing it over and over and over again. So it could be that even if Yichud is the lesser of the two Yisurim, if you're doing it over and over and over and over again by being there every moment, so it could be that you have to that it becomes much worse, and therefore better do the Chol Shabbos. And there are ways to make Chol Shabbos less of a problem. How would you make Chol Shabbos less of a problem?
Shinum.
So, like I said, take something off, throw it in front of the, walk backwards. I don't know. Someone said punch with your hand in front of it. Something just in some unusual way. If you do the shiur, so many of the poskim, so basically this went around the poskim and so half of them said it's not really yichud to begin with. The woman's on call, she can be called out at any moment. There are lots of people around the building, people can come in at any moment, so it's not yichud to begin with. The other half of the poskim said, no, this sounds like yichud, and therefore you should do it with the shiur to get out of there, to do it every time to get out of there. It's part of the excitement of halakha sometimes that you have. But I'm saying you could learn a sugya in brachos, cover a brios, and think, ah, these things never come up. It comes up all the time. All of these things, they come up all the time. I wish you all tremendous hatzlacha for the rest of this year and many years as you can stay here, learning from your incredible rebbeim and gaining from the avira of this incredible yeshiva that produced. Look around the YU based medrash and it produced many of our Rashi yeshiva. I'm sure in 10, 20 years, I'm looking around the YU based medrash, I'll see it will have you guys will be the next leaders of the next generation, Bez Hashem. And I wish you all that stuff in the world. If anyone wants to schmooze, come around. We'll do a Q&A and then I'll just stay here after you, I guess.